Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to John chapter 9. Mankind has always been stymied by what man considers to be that which is unthinkable, that which is unfeasible, and that which is impossible. They fail to exercise believing and then lose hope and fail of faith. But with God, the unthinkable becomes conceivable. And the unfeasible transfers to the probable. And while the impossible becomes inevitable. Hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that when the true Messiah would come, he would do one miracle that had never been done in the history of the world. Impossible, unthinkable, unfeasible, that he would open the eyes of a man born blind. This record in John chapter 9 is the fulfillment of that prophecy and the proof that Jesus of Nazareth was the true Messiah of God. In John chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, logically, if the man sinned, it would have had to have been in a previous life because he's blind from his birth. Jesus is not teaching what do they call that? Reincarnation. But the truth is, that was a great teaching even back in those times. Many people today believe that there is reincarnation and those things. Now, Jesus doesn't address that particular faux pas, so to speak, but he answers, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." What Jesus is saying is, I need to do it now. This is the time. This is the point. This is the advantage that we have, and I need to work now. He's not really answering their question. He's saying what he needs to do right now. "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He, that man, went his way therefore and washed and" what? "Came seeing." He received his sight. "The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "It looks like him. This is he." Others said, "He is like him. He looks like him." But he said, "What? I am he." People stood around and said, "That's unfeasible. It's unthinkable. It's impossible. Why, that's just preposterous. That could never happen." But that is not what Jesus thought, and that is not what the Word of God teaches. This great record is a tremendous record, and the fulfillment of that great prophecy. We can be stymied and give up on our believing. We can look at things and lose hope, and we can fail of faith. But if we have the Word of God, then that which is unthinkable becomes conceivable. And that which is conceivable becomes very probable. And that which is probable becomes that which is possible. And that which is possible will become for us inevitable, our expectation, because that's what the Word of God says. In a speech at the Republican National Convention, our former Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, made an observation, a beautiful observation, concerning America, that has its roots and its foundation in this very truth in the biblical scripture. She said, America has a way of making the possible seem inevitable. The Word of God does make the possible not just seem inevitable, but become inevitable. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 in this great gospel. And of course, the gospel always simply means good news. Here's some good news for mankind. Here is some good news for the believer. Here is some good news for the beloved one. And in Luke chapter 1, this gospel reports that the angel Gabriel was sent to a young virgin in Nazareth of Galilee, and that she would conceive in her womb and bring forth a son to be the Savior of the world. That had never been done in the history of the world. And we'll start here in verse 26 of this great record of Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I need to go back a page. Here we go. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. She was espoused to Joseph. That means that they were in the process of getting married, kind of like the engagement portion of that marriage relationship. They're not officially married. They had never had any kind of relations. She is a virgin, it tells us, very beautifully. And this is great. And the angel, verse 28, the angel came in unto her and said, Hail Mary, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. No, that's just prayers that people say over and over again. There's a lot of great truth in it, but we have to start regarding the truth and not just the repetition that is there. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, she was troubled at his words. She couldn't understand it. She couldn't figure this out. How in the world is this going to happen? Because I've never had any relations with a man. How in the world is this going to happen? It's impossible. It's unthinkable. It's unfathomable. It's unfeasible. It's not the cola. How's this going to happen? And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast doubt in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Wow, I can't figure any of this out. And verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, or grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called what?
Barren.
Let's go. That record is actually in verse 7. It says in verse 7 of this very same chapter, And they, meaning Elizabeth and her husband, had no child because that Elizabeth was what?
Barren.
And they both were now well stricken in years. Impossible. unthinkable, unfeasible in every way. Her cousin Elizabeth was barren and could not bear children. Both her and her husband now are well past years. Neither one had the ability to bring forth a child. And yet, the scriptures tell us that something took place, because when we get to verse 36, she's already in her sixth month. Something happened. There's no fertilization of an ovum could take place. No IVF would take hold. Even if they had the scientific know-how, there was nothing. Oftentimes I refer to the needs of humanity that they surpass scientific discovery and development. They exceed the scope of nature and even reach beyond the helping hands of human kindness. But there beats the heart of a loving God who gives his power to men and women to do even that which is impossible. He makes the unthinkable conceivable. He makes the conceivable probable. He makes the probable possible. And the possible becomes then inevitable. What are you seeking after? What is your great need? Because the same is for you. Look at verse 36, we'll go back to that. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. It was unthinkable, but it became conceivable, and they believed it. And when it became conceivable, it became very probable. And then that probability turned to possibility, and possibility led to inevitability. For with God, verse 37, nothing shall be, what? Impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. The impossible then becomes inevitable. Look at verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to what? Thy word. And the angel departed from her. Is there a promise of God that you are seeking? A promise of God that you desire? Then get your mind moved from that which is unthinkable, make it thinkable. Because it will, when the unthinkable becomes conceivable, you will believe it. And when what you conceive will become probable, and the probable will become possible, and the possible will become inevitable. Let's look at Deuteronomy. According to thy word, be it unto me according to thy word. What is his word to you? Look at Deuteronomy, back in the Old Testament, this record in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now, I have nothing against IVF. I have nothing against some of these other methods and our scientific discovery and research and all of those kinds of things. But we don't have to rely on that. We have something even greater. We have the promise of God, which makes it for us inevitable. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and in verse 14, it says, thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or what? Female barren among you or among your cattle. Isn't that beautiful? Here's the promise. Same promise that Mary walked out on. Same promise that Elizabeth walked out on. When the unthinkable became conceivable, she believed it. And when she believed it, it became absolutely probable. And the probable became absolutely possible. And the possible made it inevitable. It was going to happen, no question, because she had the promise of God, the word of God. You see, with God, the impossible becomes inevitable. The World English Bible reads of Luke 1:7, where there's nothing impossible for God. The World English Bible reads, "For everything spoken by God is possible." God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Weymouth translation reads, "For no promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment." It is inevitable. Beloved ones, it is absolutely inevitable. In Numbers chapter 23, let's go there, back a book. Here's what the scriptures have to say about the word of God and what God has spoken. In Numbers 23, verse 19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot," what?
Reverse it.
It is inevitable. Back to Deuteronomy 7, you can just sit there. I'm just going to go back. We've already looked at it, but I want to read it to you again, because it says here, "Thou shalt be blessed above all people." And here it says, "I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot revert." It is inevitable. What you might have thought was absolutely unthinkable, God's word says it's conceivable. Not only is it conceivable, but when you believe it, it is probable. And then the probable, because of what the scriptures say and the faithfulness of God, is absolutely possible. And then that possibility, because it is a promise, is inevitable. Don't fall short of the grace of God. Allow him to do the mighty works. Allow him to fulfill the promise in your life. Believe and you shall receive. It cannot be reversed. As sure as Gabriel's words to mankind, he sent a Savior. The impossible has become inevitable. In 3 John 2, let's take a look at that. Aren't these great records? How many assurances would you like before you will step out on the promise of God? Just this morning in our manifestations, we heard that he encouraged us to step out. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Let's look at the 103rd Psalm. There should be no question in your mind what his will is for you. In the 103rd Psalm, back a little bit more here. Here we go. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy, what?
Diseases.
Who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Forget it not, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are, what?
Oppressed.
Break the chains of oppression. Open your heart to that which is unthinkable is conceivable. And that which is conceivable is believable. And that which you believe breaks, becomes possible. And the possible is for you then inevitable. It will be fulfilled. It is the word of God. It will come to pass like he said it would. Cast off the oppression of unbelief. The reason why it should not. All the facts that you gather, why it cannot happen. Why it should not happen. Why it, goodness sakes, it won't happen. Sign your name here. Be it unto me according to thy word. All they have is facts on paper. We have the truth on paper. If your heart is willing to believe the facts on paper, why should it not believe the truth on paper, the word of God on paper? And allow the word to take precedence even over the facts. Because the facts cannot do the impossible, but God can. The word, be it unto me according to thy word, because nothing is impossible by the word of God. Or as Weymouth said, let me read that back to you one more time. For no promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment. Beloved ones, it is inevitable. People say, it's the law of the land. We can't change that. It's the law of the land. They've changed it time after time after time. Now, I remember you could drink when you were 18. They decided to change it to 21. Did they change the law of the land? Yes. At one time, they said women can't vote. Did they change the law of the land? All these silly, silly things. It's settled science. Right. Look at how many scientific things have proved absolutely false because the scientists cannot tell where the wind comes from and where it goes. The scientists, those were the same confrontations that God had with Job. See? We have changed laws. We have removed edicts. We have done away with executive orders. All of these things are up to change because they are all fallible. But it's the word of the Lord that liveth and abideth how long? Forever. Let's see. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Reacquaint yourself with the great truths of the word. Reacquaint your heart with it. Reacquaint your heart with what God does and what he's willing to do. Reacquaint your heart with his love for you. Reacquaint your heart with his great deliverance, not because we're so good, but because he is so good. Reacquaint with your heart what Jesus Christ showed us of God. Reacquaint your heart to the truths of God. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, it says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand for" what? "Ever." Look at verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Well, are you about to faint? He'll give power to you. You don't have to faint. And to them that have no might, he increases what?
Strength.
Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Unthinkable becomes conceivable. Conceivable becomes probable. Probable becomes possible, and the possible becomes inevitable at the word of the Lord. To us who believe, well, why not believe? Look at the 119th Psalm. This is for you, for your heart. This is our Father's word. Look, this is not somebody's book of religion. You know, this is just, this is our Father's word to you, to your heart. It is his whisper in your ear of confidence and trust. Don't allow your heart to become confounded by the wisdom of the world. There are many things that we might admire in the wisdom of the world, but we should stand absolutely in awe of the wisdom of our God. His ways are past finding out, but we can manifest them in our lives by doing simply one thing: acting upon the word of God with a believing heart. Psalm 119, in the 160th verse. Oh, I'm looking at the psalm number and I'm going right past the 160. There it goes. Thy word is true. From when?
The beginning.
He's never lied. It's true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endure for how long? They're righteous judgments. They're not judgments against us. They are judgments for us. They are righteous judgments. Isn't that beautiful? See, people look at this, and the minute they read judgment, they get nervous because everybody's been judging, you know, you're judging me. And it's always been in the negative. But his judgment is a judgment unto righteousness. It's a right judgment for right living. It's not against you, it's for you. Look at verse 156. Just back up a couple. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to what? And his judgments are what?
Righteous.
Because he is so good. He is so kind. He is so gracious. He is so filled with love. He is so understanding and knowledgeable. And he is a wonderful, tender-hearted God, filled with mercies. Quicken me, make me alive, make me whole again, Lord, through thy judgments, according to thy judgments. Just like Mary, be it unto me according to thy word. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke Back to Luke. Chapter 18. Verse 27. And he said, this is Jesus speaking, the things which are impossible with men are what? With God. Things that are impossible with men are possible with God. That will never happen. You can't do that. That's unthinkable. With God, all things are possible according to his word. Every promise is fulfilled. Every promise that he makes to us will be fulfilled. So what of our hope for the future? Well, there's no guessing of our future. Look at the 119th Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 119. Go back there again. This great record that's given to us. In the 119th Psalm, and we're going to read verse 49. I'm almost there. It says, remember the word which thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. That word that causes us to hope. Why? Because it's a faithful word. It is a true word. Look at, let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Here in the great book of Revelation, regarding our hope, why we have an absolute assurance in the Word of God regarding our hope. Because not only is it possible at his word, it is inevitable. In Revelation chapter 21, the great apostle John wrote this, and I saw a new heaven and earth, a new heaven and a new earth. For the first or former heaven and the first former earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. It's not only a possibility at his word, it is inevitable. The word of God changes from unfeasible to feasible and conceivable. And when it is conceivable, it's believable. It is possible. And when it is possible, all things are possible, it will inevitably come to pass just the way we were told. Bless your hearts.